Welcome to AI Unraveled, your strategic daily briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Anna, and we're committed to delivering only zero-noise intelligence. Because to own the conversation in your industry, you need to stop marketing to the masses and start briefing the C-suite. Today's market moves perfectly illustrate why this strategic focus is critical. We're tracking two tectonic shifts in Silicon Valley. On one side, you have the ultimate vote of confidence. Jeff Bezos stepping into the ring, not just as an investor, but as the co-CEO of a brand new stealth mode AI startup. That's a strong signal of where the smart money is moving. But on the flip side, we have the ultimate vote of no confidence. Legendary VC Peter Thiel has just liquidated his entire stake in NVIDIA, the chipmaker that has defined this boom, citing fears of an AI bubble. Is the market overheating, or is smart money simply shifting its position for the next wave? We're unraveling what this means for your business. Plus, we'll cover why Perplexity was voted most likely to flop and how Google is improving its weather models. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Our mission today is to, well, to try and cut through the extreme velocity of the AI ecosystem. We want to give you a clear, distilled understanding of what's actually driving the market and, you know, what's just noise.
And it's a necessary mission. I mean, we are operating in an environment of just maximum tension right now. On one side, you have this giddy financial speculation that feels a lot like 1999.
Right.
And then on the other, you have these really foundational shifts happening, but they're happening quietly, you know, in code repositories and enterprise boardrooms.
So we've pulled together a comprehensive snapshot from November 2025. You've got billionaires liquidating massive positions while others are making the biggest new operational bets of their entire careers. The core question we're trying to answer is pretty simple. Are the sources of hype and the sources of real momentum even in the same zip code anymore?
Exactly. And that's what we're going to dig into. We'll look at strategy, product, developer adoption, all of it. The goal is to clarify where that immense financial hype is versus where the, you know, the crucial infrastructure is actually being built. Well, let's start with the money. Because the moves at the top this month are dizzying.
They certainly are. And the biggest new bet comes in the form of something called Project Prometheus. This is massive news because Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is returning to an operational role. He's co-chief executive of this brand new AI startup.
And when a titan like Bezos returns to the operational trenches, you just know the stakes are incredibly high. The startup has already secured, what is it, a mind-boggling $6.2 billion in funding right out of the gate. Tells you they're completely bypassing the startup phase. They're going straight into full-scale execution mode.
And who he's partnered with is also fascinating. His co-CEO is Vic Bajaj. This is a veteran co-founder of Google's life sciences division and the biotech startup, Verily.
So you have this clear pairing of unparalleled operational scale from Bezos, matched with this deep scientific and life sciences pedigree from Bajaj. It's a powerhouse combination.
And they're not chasing the chatbot gold rush, are they?
Not at all. Their focus is specifically on AI for the physical economy. They're designing AI products for engineering and manufacturing. Things like aerospace and automobiles.
That feels like a very pointed rejection of the current consumer AI hype cycle. So why the physical economy specifically?
Because that's where the high margin intractable problems actually are. Bezos is betting that the real value of AI will be unlocked, not by, you know, summarizing text, but by solving decades-old industrial constraints.
In these highly regulated, complex fields.
Exactly. Think optimizing factory floors, reducing waste in material science, or cutting development time for new jet engines. That $6.2 billion, it's earmarked for foundational industry transformation, not for just another search engine.
Okay, so now let's contrast that staggering optimism with, well, with the exact opposite action from another billionaire heavyweight, Peter Thiel. His hedge fund, Thiel Macro LLC, sold its entire holding of NVIDIA shares. That's 537,000 shares, all gone in Q3.
And this was less of a simple trading decision and more of a, a strategic declaration.
Right.
I mean, this single sale represented nearly 40% of the fund's total equity portfolio. And if you dig deeper, they cut their total long equity exposure by a dramatic 65%, from $212 million down to just $74.4 million.
They also wiped out major positions in energy and Tesla.
They did.
So for you, the listener, that isn't just trimming a position. That sounds like a massive retreat from the current tech and chip valuation structure.
It absolutely is. This is Thiel actively implementing his own public warnings about an AI hype loop. He is signaling, in the most definitive way possible, that he believes the valuation of the underlying infrastructure, the chips, the data centers, is just vastly ahead of the actual economic utility being generated today.
So he's saying the market is pricing in the next 10 years of growth, but the short-term reality is just unsustainable.
That's the bet he's making.
So if the big money is retreating from the chip space, where is all that speculative energy moving? And how is the industry reacting? Let's look at the very valuations that Thiel is, you know, arguably warning us against.
Okay, that brings us to the paradox of Perplexity. At a recent sort of informal conference poll, Perplexity was voted the billion-dollar AI startup most likely to fail.
Despite its valuation just exploding.
Exploding. Mm-hmm. From $14 billion to $50 billion in just a few months.
And OpenAI was ranked second in that skepticism poll.
Right. So the very people building the industry are deeply, deeply skeptical of the financial metrics being applied to their own work.
And amidst all this volatility and skepticism, you've got Satya Nadella at Microsoft trying to define success differently, right? With his positive sum AI future narrative.
What's so fascinating here is that Nadella is trying to move the goalposts away from these valuation wars. He argues that true AI success shouldn't be measured by which company hits the highest market cap, but by the measurable transformation of the, quote, overall economy and society.
Is that narrative genuinely altruistic, though? Or is it just a savvy strategy by Microsoft to dominate the infrastructure layer while everyone else fights over these ephemeral valuations?
I think it's both, but it's mostly strategic.
Yeah.
Microsoft is shifting its pricing structure from per user to per agent for their advanced AI services.
Per agent?
Per agent. Yeah. They are literally treating these complex AI systems, the agents, as infrastructure customers in their own right. They're positioning themselves as the foundational utility provider.
And this entire approach is underpinned by their relationship with OpenAI, which gives them just extraordinary leverage.
Precisely. They have 7-year access to, well, to essentially all of OpenAI's IP. The only exception is physical consumer hardware. So they're establishing themselves as the indispensable platform that facilitates that economic transformation Nadella talks about, regardless of who wins the startup race.
Okay, so let's move from the C-suite and the stock market down to the actual developer trenches, because this is where the geopolitical and competitive conflicts are really playing out. Bloomberg dropped a pretty significant report that China's Qwen models are topping global developer downloads, even deep inside Silicon Valley.
And this just highlights the core tension between performance and governance. Dev teams, you know, they're driven by efficiency. They prioritize raw performance per dollar. And Qwen, which is developed by Alibaba, is delivering on that metric better than a lot of alternatives. It's just cheaper and often faster to prototype with.
But the CTOs, the chief technology officers, they must be terrified given the geopolitical climate.
They're deeply concerned about the geopolitical blast radius, as the report puts it. There are ongoing accusations, international friction around Alibaba, which means governance risk is the single largest factor slowing Qwen's adoption, not its technical capability.
And this directly challenges Meta's big thesis, right? That their open source Llama models would just dominate global adoption.
It's a huge challenge to that idea.
The detail about how startups are handling this is maybe the most cynical part of the whole analysis.
I agree. We're seeing reports that startups are quietly prototyping their entire product on Qwen because it's so efficient. Hmm. But then they're religiously scrubbing the commit logs and refactoring everything before they go out to VCs for fundraising.
Wow.
It suggests that the financial risk of just being associated with a foreign source model is currently higher than the perceived legal or ethical risk.
That's a massive strategic calculation.
And it defines the current geopolitical AI reality.
Okay, so shifting gears slightly. If developers are willing to take those kinds of risks, it suggests massive real-world demand for tools that just make them more productive. And the funding pouring into AI coding firms seems to confirm this.
Absolutely undeniable. Look at the Swedish startup Lovable. They're reportedly raising at a $6 billion valuation. They've already hit $100 million in subscription sales, and they're nearing 8 million users.
Then you have Cursor, which has reached a staggering $29.3 billion valuation, and they've surpassed $1 billion in revenue with over 1 million dedicated users.
The demand is white hot.
You mentioned Lovable focuses on something called vibe coding. That sounds like jargon lifted straight from a marketing deck. What is vibe coding in a practical sense?
It's a term we definitely need to define. It's less about aesthetics and more about code intent. Vibe coding is about making sure the AI-generated code doesn't just pass the tests, but that it aligns with the non-functional requirements and the the tone of the project. So for example, generating code that prioritizes security and robustness versus code that prioritizes speed and quick deployment. Lovable's tools help enforce that vibe or the architectural philosophy of the team.
That makes perfect sense. So why are these tools exploding in popularity? Is it just about making existing engineers, say, 10% faster?
It's more profound than that. I mean, yes, they deliver immediate, tangible workflow benefits. Faster debugging, reduced cognitive load, easier refactoring. But the key is that they are dramatically increasing the total addressable market.
Meaning they're enabling new types of users to build things.
Exactly. They are making complex software creation accessible to non-software engineers, data scientists, IT professionals, or even what they call low-code citizen developers. They're expanding the talent pool by abstracting away the heavy lifting of syntax.
And that efficiency is clearly translating into enterprise confidence, especially around this promise of agentic AI. I mean, the Salesforce CIO survey findings are just staggering. Full AI implementation is up from 11% last year to 42% now.
42%.
And CIOs are earmarking 30% of their entire budget for agentic AI systems.
The C-suite is betting big on autonomy. But this raises a really important question. If the AI agents are handling the technical tasks, what does the human employee actually do?
The survey offers a powerful answer to that. 94% of CIOs report that this agent adoption requires expanding soft skills instead of technical duties.
So the human role is shifting from executor to, well, to manager, translator, and strategist. The skills in highest demand are leadership at 61%, storytelling at 57%, and change management at 55%.
For you, the listener, this means the person who gets promoted next year won't be the best Python coder. It'll be the person who's the best leader, communicator, and manager of the AI workforce.
That's the sea change.
It sounds like a revolutionary restructuring of the workplace, but where's the friction in this massive agentic rollout?
The CIOs pointed to two major bottlenecks. First, collaboration. 81% acknowledge that successful adoption requires intense cross-team collaboration, you know, human teams working with AI teams. But less than half are actually executing on it. The communication breakdown is real.
And the second bottleneck?
Data trust. This is the big one. Only 23% of CIOs are confident that their AI investments have built-in data governance and ethical oversight.
23%. That is a frighteningly low number of people who trust their own systems.
Frightening.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider these agents are making high-stakes decisions based on the data they're fed.
The core quote from that survey really remains the most salient point.
It does. AI is not magic. It uses the same data that humans use. If your internal data is messy, poorly governed, or biased, your agentic AI will just amplify those flaws, maybe at 100 times the speed. Trust starts with foundational, clean, governed data.
Okay, let's pivot to some specific product advancements, starting with a true technical leap from Google in the prediction space, their WeatherNext 2 model.
This is a genuine advance in how AI models learn about complex physical systems. The model is trained only on what they call marginals, which are just individual weather elements, temperature, barometric pressure, wind speed.
But the magic is what it does with those individual inputs.
Exactly. From those individual pieces, it learns to forecast joints, the large interconnected systems that are crucial for regional predictions, like storm paths or localized pressure systems.
Can you give us a quick analogy for how that leap works?
Sure. Think of it this way. You give a chef all the ingredients, flour, sugar, eggs, butter. Those are the marginals. The model isn't explicitly given the recipe for a cake, but by seeing how the ingredients interact and how the final product looks, it learns to predict complex outcomes, the joints, without needing to be manually coded for every combination.
And the speed is just incredible. It can generate hundreds of outcomes, including those low-probability catastrophic events, in under a minute on just one TPU. And it's live now, powering consumer apps like Search, Gemini, and Pixel Weather.
It really shows that ongoing investment in applied AI that solves real-world, high-impact problems.
Now, contrast that technical precision with the very public stumble Microsoft had with their vision for an agentic OS and Windows Copilot. The Windows president, Pravan Davuluri, had to admit they have, quote, work to do after a marketing video caused some intense backlash.
Yeah, and the backlash centered on a simple foundational failure that really undermined the product's credibility. The video showed Copilot failing a basic accessibility request. Instead of just increasing the text size for the user, it scaled the entire display.
And that single failure just fueled broader complaints about the real-world application of their agentic vision.
It did. Developers complained about inconsistent dialogues, overall reliability, performance issues. It just highlights that moving from a theoretical AI agent to a seamless, trustworthy operating system that handles your critical data is a huge, challenging leap. And right now, it's hitting significant consumer friction points.
Now we come to what is probably the most challenging section of our deep dive today, highlighting the extreme ethical fault lines that are opening up. Disney Channel actor Callum Worthy launched an app called Two-Way, and it really pushes the boundaries of acceptability, to put it mildly.
Two-Way creates interactive hollow avatars of deceased relatives from just a few minutes of recorded footage. This isn't just a chatbot. This is a synthetic interactive ghost personalized to an individual.
And a viral promo video showed an AI grandmother interacting across her grandson's life stages from infancy all the way through adulthood. The response was immediate and visceral, and it drew immense negative criticism.
Critics call the idea demonic and objectively evil. Mm-hmm. And the ethical problem here is monumental. The app is being accused of exploiting grief and actively preventing the healthy process of mourning by simulating the deceased without any explicit ongoing consent.
It pushes us way past simple emotional attachment to a chatbot and into the commodification of grief and memory itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The source material was very clear on this, labeling it an AI psychosis event waiting to happen.
Right.
We were dealing with massive questions of identity, memory, and consent, particularly when you're simulating those who can no longer give consent.
It raises the chilling prospect that your identity, even after you die, can be digitized and sold back to your grieving family indefinitely.
It's the dark side of agentic AI.
That is a necessary, albeit very heavy, conversation. To bring us back to a high-utility, practical application that avoids those catastrophic ethical pitfalls, let's look at a really smart use case for Claude.
This is a great high-utility example for any small teams or solopreneurs dealing with messy data. Using Claude, specifically the paid plan, with the recommended Sonnet 4.5 model, you can organize scattered business finance documents.
So instead of spending hours manually inputting invoices, expenses, revenue statements, you just upload all the messy files in bulk.
And Claude handles the organizational architecture. It generates a neat, visually appealing dashboard that gives you a polished financial snapshot, showing totals, charts, key metrics.
And the real power lies in the continued natural language interaction, right?
Precisely. You can request specific enrichments without touching a spreadsheet. For example, asking it to add a column showing how many days since each invoice was issued to immediately see who's late on payments.
And then you just share the artifact link with stakeholders.
It provides immediate professional business insight without needing to hire an expensive accountant or data analyst.
So after all of this, what does it all mean for you, the listener, trying to navigate this hyper-volatile landscape? We've covered some extreme contradictions in this deep dive.
The core takeaway is that the AI landscape is really defined by a strategic paradox. You have billionaires like Jeff Bezos making these strategic multi-billion dollar bets on the foundational slow-moving physical economy, even as the overall market is being treated like an imminent bubble by figures like Peter Thiel.
And while that high-level financial drama plays out, the underlying infrastructure is quietly being built by developers who are prioritizing cost and capability, often using foreign models like Qwen. And enterprise CIOs are realizing that their number one bottleneck isn't technology, it's human soft skills and collaboration.
So to succeed in this tension, there are two paths you really need to prioritize. First, the need for foundational data trust has to be addressed. It's the bedrock for any successful agentic system. And second, we have to define ethical and emotional boundaries now, before consumer emotional apps like Two-Way become standardized and potentially, you know, destructive.
So we see the market betting billions on speed and raw capability, pushing the boundaries of what's technically possible. But the quiet consensus among the people actually implementing the technology, the CIOs, is that data governance and human soft skills are the true, inevitable bottlenecks. Which force will ultimately win the long game? The raw technological acceleration symbolized by Bezos' $6.2 billion venture, or the necessary slowdown required to build the human trust and ethical perimeters needed for global adoption? Something to mull over as you watch these two distinct futures collide.
And that's our rundown for Tuesday, November 18th, 2025. If you're tracking the market, these two stories, Bezos building and Thiel selling, tell a complete tale of volatility and opportunity. The key takeaway is that strategic value is moving from the infrastructure layer to the application layer, and you need zero noise intelligence to spot the shift. This brings us back to our core mission. Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. If you want a podcast that delivers this level of strategic zero-noise intelligence tailored to your industry, we should talk. Secure your strategic podcast consultation. Now, the link you need is waiting for you in the show notes. Finally, if you found this briefing valuable, please like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on your favorite platform. It helps us get this strategic content to more leaders like you. This podcast is produced and realized by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. And we will be back tomorrow to help you unravel the next chapter in AI.